It's not easy.
I think the last question I had, now that we're the end of this interview, is just what's next for you? You know, whether that be career-wise or just life-wise, what's next?
Well, I've been back in the studio since leaving UBC, and so yeah, just kind of just finished an ex being part of an exhibition at the Gibson Museum at SFU. So working in the studio, continuing to do writing, contributed an essay to a forthcoming publication on Charlene Vickers' work, so that's coming up. And oh, and gonna head off to have a look at the Sydney Biennial in the
Oh,
middle of the month. So yeah, some travel.
nice. Very exciting. All right. Well, thank you so much for speaking to me about not just this award, but also like your process and your career and all that it entails. Means a lot. And yeah, congratulations once again.
Thanks, Daniel. It was a pleasure.
It's a pleasure for me too. All right.
Take care.
Take care. Bye. Once again, that was our conversation with curator, artist, and writer Lorna Brown, who recently won a mid-career curator's award from the Jack and Doris Shadbolt Foundation for Visual Arts. Once again, you're listening to Speak Up only on CJSF 90.1 FM. We do have some more pieces for you this hour. But before we get into that, let's take a little bit of a music break with a band that is very, very local and near and dear to our hearts here at CJSF. This is Little Big League by Self Care.
Max, I know you're a decent human being, but die like a dog.
and Greg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. You're tuned in to 88.7 FM, The Fur in Prince George, Claylie Tanay, with your host, Ian Gregg, and with me today are local musicians and space pilots, Travis Moore and David Baycroft, both vocalists and songwriters. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat. You'll be releasing a full-length thrash metal rock opera that you've been working on for the past number of years, and it's about to be released into the world at Ominika Arts Center this coming March 2026, Space Race. All right. So this is actually your first thrash rock metal opera, isn't it?
Yeah. That's
okay. I'm not aware of any others in existence in the world, actually, but I'm going to assume this is your first one. And this subgenre is a pretty open field, if I understand correctly, right? Can you tell us how this album came to be?
Oh, God, yeah. So this is kind of a long-winded story, but so it was about 2021, a good friend of ours passed away from cancer. And like, at the time I was kind of like lost, kind of depressed, like just grieving, right? And I didn't know how to deal with it. And like, we used to hang out all the time and listen to thrash metal and drink a lot. And so like, I'm just sitting there and like, I didn't like my job. I didn't like who I was becoming. I was depressed and I was trying to get back to like a simpler time. And so I just started growing my hair back out, playing thrash metal. And then I got tired of playing the same songs over and over again. And I thought I should just write my own. And so I wrote a couple of songs. And then I think it was my birthday. I can't remember which year. I think it was the following year or something like that. We were hanging out with Devin Meyer from Mad Bomb. And he's like, oh, let's jam one of your songs. And so David jumped on bass. He jumped on drums and we jammed the song. And it just felt awesome, and I think that's what you got kind of hooked into, like, the project.
Yeah, what is this? Like, right? Can I be involved? Like, Alex is also a friend of mine too back in the day, and so it just felt like a bit of an homage to him to jump on board.
And this direction of the rock opera, or I should be more specific and say thrash metal rock opera, when did that aspect kind of emerge out of this out of the tribute that you were slowly developing?
So I was kind of thinking about like the heavy metal animated video for the magazine.
Yeah, the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, lives in infamy and it's on all the magazine
exactly,
racks.
Yeah. And like Pink Floyd, The Wall and stuff like that. And like, I liked the idea of this fictional story being told through music. Right. And I also love King Diamond and that's his thing. So, but I just thought it would be a fun idea. And then, like I said, I had like a couple songs sorted out and then it took off.
Just went from there.
We would get together like every Friday and just have like writing sessions with lots of whiskey involved, and we'd just like plug away at the songs, like put down a bass line or like put down a riff and then expand the songs and then bounce them and listen to them for the whole week leading up to it and be like, okay, well, we should do this differently or something. And then we'd get together that Friday and make changes, and we did that for like 3 years pretty consistently, like once a week. And then we had basically the songs written but none of the vocals yet. We were just following that inspiration to just get the music down. And then one day we were just like, okay, like we have to bite the bullet and actually write the actual lyrics to this.
So it took some time to craft this and turn it into what it is, but it was a slow, deliberate, and careful process.
For sure.
Maybe not so deliberate, but careful.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. And
it's definitely slow.
Yeah.
And like through the background music itself, like we kind of painted the picture of the story with the music. So the lyrics came somewhat naturally after that because the story was already being told. So we just had to put words to it.
Fill in blanks.
And are you aware of any other thrash metal operas around, you know, maybe trying to eat your lunch as you're wading into this category of rock
opera?
They would
have had to have heard of us to eat our lunch.
Yeah, if anything, we're eating their lunch. Like I said, like King Diamond, that's all he does is like telling story. Like every album is a story in itself. I think The Sword has a few albums that are telling a story through albums. So it's like, it's not a new thing. It's just, I haven't seen like a thrash metal thing like this. So
at least within the region of Northern BC, the thrash metal rock opera, this is pretty fresh territory.
Yeah.
There will likely not be anybody in attendance at Omnique Arts Center for the album release who's been to very many thrash metal rock operas before.
Yeah. So this is a good thing. Many people there at all.
Yeah.
Maybe we can change that.
Like,
maybe we can change that.
Whenever I talk about it, like if I say, oh, I'm doing a thrash metal opera, instantly people are like, I want to see that. So I'm hoping that still sticks and people show up.
And I've noticed your album art through the initial demos and so on, that's gone through some change-ups. Like, where did you start? Where did you end up? I know album art isn't something that's very popular to talk about right now because hardly anybody sees the album art because it's usually locked away on a phone somewhere and there's some, I don't know, irrelevant image if it does show up. But
it's hard to get it that isn't AI generated too nowadays.
That's right.
Right.
And so I really want to do, like, I think it's Frank Frazetta, the guy that did Conan through the 80s and stuff. Like, I want that style of art for it, but that's a ways away. Right now we're getting our friend Marco Perry to like do logos and stuff like that, and we'll see where that goes. But eventually the idea, at least my idea, was to have kind of like I said, like the heavy metal thing. Like, I want animation to go with it. I want it to tell a story.
Full length animation.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that visual component when you're telling a story. It's not necessarily required. It's definitely a fun aspect to have.
Well, it adds a totally different dimension to the characters. Like, I think in Metalocalypse, for example, it's like, it's more than just a band. It's like these characters and a story. But yeah, that's the way that Space Race wants to go.
And your accompanying players, are these all folks you've known for a while? Like you mentioned, like, you two had a friend, Alex, who passed away from cancer. And, you know, through healing from that, you two kind of got together on this project. Your other bandmates, is that a similar story, or did you pull them in later on? How did everybody get involved?
Yeah, so we, like we were working on the demos, we're doing the writing the songs and everything. And our friend, a mutual friend, well, actually, it was his friend first. They were played in 720 together, Colton.
That Studio 720?
Yeah, the band Studio 720.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So Colton Boyd, gem of a human, he came in and did some lead for the demos. Like, so what you've heard was his lead on that. But he had to bow out due to personal reasons, which is fine. And then I ran into our friend Nick.
Nick and I go way back. We were in the band Bright City Heights together.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. And so he just came back, and him and I got, because he was in China for 2 years playing there. And then he came back, and him and I got involved in another project. And through that, I was like, well, we should ask Nick to play drums, because it's hard to find a drummer. It's like the hardest instrument to fill in PG, at least, is drummers, because all the drummers are in bands already, right? So yeah, he was just like the obvious choice to ask to play drums. And then it was his friend Drew who is now playing lead guitar. So once we got Nick involved, all the pieces sort of started falling into place. Like, it wasn't long after that we got Drew involved, and he just clicked. He just absolutely clicked with the songs. And yeah, so now all of a sudden we have a full band and a show coming up.
Yeah, and
it's really falling into place.
Exactly. Everything, it's coming together so fast. It's like I told David on the ride here, I was like, it's too late to put the pin back in the grenade at this point. Like, it's just, it's happening so fast. But
whether you wanted to or not.
Yeah. The funny thing about Drew joining is, like, basically Colton dropped out, and it was almost the same day that Drew was already in. Like, it just happened that fast.
Wow.
Yeah. And no, but the best part about it too is, like, they're all also friends, or were friends with Alex at the time too. So, like, everybody in the band has this connection with that person. So it's kind of awesome.
Yeah. In an ideal world, we're talking about, you know, your ideal world, how would this project be shared? Just as a YouTube video with, you know, extensive animations taking us, you know, through the galaxy on the space race? Or, I don't know, a giant projector lasering onto the surface of the moon. I don't know. What is your imagination want for it?
Lasers.
Yeah.
many moon lasers.
Moon lasers. yeah. So, like, I would love to have, like, an animated thing to go with it, because there's no better way to tell a story than having the visual with the audio.
Yeah, like a movie on VHS.
In the future of 1986. I mean, that ultimately would be my goal, but
there's like stages. There's like, as the budget increases, there are different levels, right? I think first level, we thought about just having some comic panels made for each song and like a comic book or something, and then print them out and maybe sell the comic book at the show or something. It's like, how often do you see comics in the merch table? So that might be like stage one. And then we were thinking about incorporating that into like behind the show while we were playing. So having sort of like the panels up and zooming into different parts of them throughout the song, sort of show the imagery, right? That might be stage two. And then, you know, once we make $1 million and we can pay for a full length animated film, then that would be the next step.
Excellent.
Maybe we approach Netflix.
That's right. I like the tiered approach. It's actually very pragmatic, especially for, you know, a local project, local people, and actually, you know, bringing something like this in reality. There's clearly a lot of passion in this project. And I think maybe the question that a lot of people might want to know is, what is the space race about? Are there any spoilers, any plot lines that you're willing to drop down ahead of the event?
Yeah, so I'll try to put this in a way that doesn't reveal too much, because in the upcoming show we're going to play like the first half of the story.
Leave it on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, so to kind of summarize in a way, I guess. So aliens, there's these group of aliens called the Inquisitors, and they repurpose planets. So they've come to Earth and they've made their demands. They're saying, we're coming to repurpose your planet, but you can fight for your planet's freedom if you enter this race.
With other systems, other enslaved systems.
So it's, you know, everybody fights for their own planet within all these systems. And I can't say how, but the main character, who we're just calling the pilot, he gets involved in this race. I mean, saying any more would be too much
calamity
at this point.
Calamity ensues.
This is the high point of tension that must be resolved.
Exactly. And so we're going to end on a high note, and then you'll have to come back to our shows to see what happens next.
We're going to have to do the next time on Space Race.
It's the next time on Space Race.
Will the hero survive?
So people who are interested in this, the event is at
Omnica Art Space, March 27th. Just starts at 8. $20. There's three bands. There is us, Space Race, Hot Boy Summer, and Mad Bomb. And I have to thank our friends at Mad Bomb for hooking us up with the show. That was very nice of them to do.
And the lads at Hot Boy. We love those guys.
Is there anything you didn't ask that you guys wanted me to ask?
One little thing that I wanted to mention, which I thought was really cool, and I didn't realize until later, but our first actual jam session as a band was on the anniversary of our friend passing, which wasn't intentional.
Didn't even realize until after.
Yeah. Right? So we started jamming, and then I saw the post, and I was like, oh my God, it's the day, like fate. I don't know, things just coming together like this. It's so weird. I don't know.
That's really interesting. Like, this project started out as an homage to your friend who passed.
Mm-hmm.
It's really coming to fruition. And then when you had your final lineup set up,
you
did your rehearsal and it was the day.
Yeah, just happened to be the day.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I think Alex definitely wishes he could have seen this. And
he
would
have loved it.
I know that. That's the thing that breaks my heart, is he never got to hear any of it. I know, because he's always been really supportive of like everything I've done, and he would have loved it. It sucks, but it's maybe he's hearing it somewhere.
It's tough. So much art comes out of something that perhaps, you know, is an ugly experience or something unsavory, but you manage to take the pressure and turn it into a diamond.
Yeah, it was like a
king diamond.
A king diamond inspired thrash metal rock opera coming to you at Omnica Arts Center, March 27th.
Yeah, it was a good way to process grief, really, I think.
Yeah, the best things come from the strongest emotions, for sure.
For any potential spectators wishing to view part one of the Space Race, visit Omnica Arts Center at 369 Victoria Street in Prince George, Claley, Tanay on Friday, March 27th, 2026. Doors are at 7, music's at 8, $20 at the door, no advance tickets, first come, first serve. For residents of the city, this is your first opportunity ever to witness a thrash metal rock opera. Also performing are local acts with Fresh Tracks, Mad Bomb, and Hot Boy Summer. Details on Facebook and omnicaartcenter.com. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North. on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.
This is Bird Note. Some of Hollywood's most iconic beasts owe much of their signature sound to the squawks, tweets, and even hisses of birds. Take Jurassic Park. To create these mournful calls from the Brachiosaurus, sound designer Gary Rydstrom slowed down the honks of geese. In The Prisoner of Azkaban, the hippogriff's scream is actually a limpkin whose high-pitched call earned it the nickname the Crying Bird. Or in the sci-fi film Arrival. To create the language of the aliens, New Zealand-based sound designers David Whitehead and Michelle Child recorded local birds and lowered their pitch, then added some other animals and instruments like bagpipes and didgeridoos. Ironically, Alfred Hitchcock didn't use any birds for the soundscape of his classic horror film, The Birds. Instead, the sound of those murderous seagulls was made using an early synthesizer called the Trautonium. Hitchcock claimed he couldn't find any real birds that sounded spooky enough. That's Hollywood for you. For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Each winter, people in northern areas eagerly wait for lakes to freeze so they can go ice fishing or ice skating. But as the climate changes, winters are getting warmer, and in many areas, lakes are freezing later in the fall and melting earlier in the spring. Warmer weather also makes ice weaker and more likely to break. So if you're heading out onto a frozen lake, it's important to take precautions. Bring safety gear like a life vest, ice pick, and rope, and pack a tape measure you can use to check the ice's thickness. It should be at least 4 inches thick to walk on and much thicker to drive onto. And remember, these guidelines only apply to clear ice, which forms as lake water freezes. White ice, which forms from ice or snow that is thawed and then refrozen, is weaker and needs to be much thicker to be safe. If ice does start cracking beneath you, lie down to spread your weight and roll away. And if you fall in, use an ice pick to grab firm ice, kick to pull yourself up, and go warm up immediately. No ice is completely safe, and as the climate warms, the risks will grow. But if you're careful, you can still enjoy a winter day skating or ice fishing.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Once again, you are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM and Speak Up. We have reached the end of the hour, but in about 6 minutes, you're going to be hearing Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, so make sure you stay tuned for that to be caught up on current affairs happening, not just in the United States, but also globally. Afterwards, we have Raccoon City at noon, typically Tuesdays. Some other live programming later in the night will be Bitcoover at 8 p.m., Slumber Party as well. A lot of just really, really awesome people and really, really awesome shows happening here today on Tuesday. So, you know, hopefully you'll have the time, especially if you're snowed in, to listen to all of what we have to offer. Anyways, I want to thank you all so very much for tuning in this week. We're going to be ending off with one more song. This one is from the band Whack with One More Tizime. Thank you for tuning in.